Welcome to Torah Dimecha, Nach Yomi, with the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Shira Hochheimer, and today we will be studying Yirmiyahu, chapter 47. This parak is the second of six prakim addressed to the other nations that serve as an addendum to Sefer Yirmiyahu. In the last parak, we learned about how Nebuchadnezzar defeated Egypt twice, once by the Euphrates and another time in the land of Egypt itself. In the last parak, Paro was the victim. In this parak, that same Paro is the aggressor. This parak talks about another neighbor of Yehuda, the Plishtim. The Plishtim played a key role in the history of the Jewish people from the time of Yehoshua through the time of the Shoftim, and then later into the time of David. For 200 years following David, the Plishtim lived in the region, but were not a major player in regional politics. They regained power approximately 100 years before the destruction of the first Beis Hamikdash. The Plishtim lived on the coastal plains near the Mediterranean and were related to other seafaring nations of Tsur, which is Tyre, and Sidon. They originally came from the Kaphtorim, which is Crete. This parak was a nevuah that Hashem said to Yirmiyahu about the Plishtim, verse 1, "B'terem yakeh Paro es Aza," before Paro struck Gaza. There is a disagreement among the Mefarshim when Paro plundered Aza. Rashi says that this refers to an event we have already learned about. Nebuchadnezzar laid a siege on Yerushalayim. In the middle of the siege, the Egyptian army started traveling north to defend Yerushalayim. Bavel left their siege and turned to fight Egypt. At that point, Egypt said never mind and went back to their own country. On the return trip, the Egyptians took out some of their aggression on Aza, which could be because they were a protectorate state of Bavel. This was a way to avenge on Bavel because they couldn't attack Bavel itself, but they could attack a nation whom Bavel was protecting. This parak is said to Yirmiyahu before Paro comes to Aza, but it's going to be about a much more extensive event that happened when Nebuchadnezzar burned the cities of the Plishtim. Nebuchadnezzar targeted the Plishtim as he had a long-standing war with Tsur and Sidon, who used to be allied with him, and then they rebelled, and Sidon and Tsur were very powerful, very independent, and the Plishtim were their allies, so they were far more vulnerable than the fortress cities that were in the middle of the sea. The Nevuah begins in verse 2. Ko Amar Hashem, so says Hashem, Hine mayim olim mitzafon, vayu lenachal shotef. The waters rise up out of the north and shall become an overflowing stream. This water from the north is Bavel. When there are flash floods, the little creeks fill with water and become a raging river. V'yishtefu eretz mlo'a, and they shall overflow the land and all that is in them. The creeks that became rivers flood the entire area. It also floods Ir v'yosheva, the city and those that dwell in it. V'za'aku ha'adam, and the men shall cry. As the waters rise, people scream to each other to flee. Eliel kol yoshev ha'aretz, and all the inhabitants of the land will wail. When there is a flood, people lose everything, and they're devastated in a way that only happens with this kind of natural disaster. Living through a flood is similar to how it will feel when the invading army enters into the Plishtim's land. The cities will be overwhelmed, and they will lose everything quickly and completely. Yirmiyahu describes for us the sounds of war which cause panic. Verse 3. Mikol sha'atas parsos abirav. At the noise of the stamping of the hooves of his strong ones. Me'rash l'rechbo hamon galgilav. At the rushing of his chariots, at the rumbling of his wheels. The sounds of war are loud and growing louder. The tumult affects the people. Lo hifnu avos el banim me'rifion yadayim. The fathers do not look back for their children because they are weak. In a flood, a person only has so much strength, so as the waters rush, a parent, chas v'shalom, may not be able to save his child. The child may slip from their hands. In this war, as the pasuk describes, the people will be so overwhelmed by the intensity of the battle and the instinct for self-preservation that they will abandon their children in the panic from their enemies. Verse 4. Al hayom haba lishtod es kol plishtim. Because of that day that comes to spoil and destroy all the plishtim, la'achris litzor litzidon kol sarid ozer, to cut off from Tyre and Sidon every helper that remains. Nebuchadnezzar's goal is in raising the Plishti cities was to cut off any potential support that could come from those poorer cities to the powerful cities of Sidon and Tyre that took years upon years for Nebuchadnezzar to defeat. The defeat of the Plishtim lands was miraculous. It was caused ki shodeid Hashem es Plishtim she'eres I kaftor. Hashem will spoil the Plishtim, the remnants of the Isle of Kaftor of Crete. Kaftor was one of the children of Yefes, who both the Plishtim and Sor and Sidon descended from. The Pesukim describe what the devastation of the Plishti cities will be like. Verse 5. Baal karcha el Azza. Baldness is coming to Azza. Paro had already cut down Azza when he swept through, which could be compared to a short haircut. When Bavel sweeps through the land of the Plishtim, it will be like they are losing all their hair and are completely decimated. In addition to Azza, Nidmisa Ashkelon she'eris imkam. Ashkelon is brought to nothing, the remnants of their valley. Likewise, Ashkelon had already suffered from Paro. Now with Bavel, every person is killed, even those who live far away from the city in the valleys. Any remnant that the Bavelim could find will be destroyed. Ad Masai Tisko Didi, how long will you cut yourself? This is a continuation of the metaphor of cutting hair. People would shave all their hair and cut themselves and their skin in grief. The Navi asks, how long will they mourn for destruction before they move ahead? Yirmiyahu then addresses the sword of Hashem. He addresses Hashem and the violence that he is seeing in the city. Verse 6, Hoi cherev l'Hashem, ad ana lo tishkoti. O sword of Hashem, how long will you be not quiet? The sword of Hashem has attacked these poor Plishti cities twice. This is showing that everything that is happening is because of Hashem's will. Hey Asvi El Ta'areich, Hey Ragi Vidomi, put yourself, sword, into your scabbard, rest and be still. Yirmiyahu looks at what is happening and all those being killed, and he bursts forth with a tefillah that begs Hashem that the violence should stop. Hashem should have pity on his world. We don't find that Yirmiyahu says a similar tefillah for the Jewish people. The Das Sofrim suggests that Yirmiyahu knows that everything that happens to the Jewish people is done with a purpose. It will lead to something positive. He does not see that this destruction of the Plishtim have an element of rebuilding from that which was torn down. So Yirmiyahu turns to Hashem and asks for mercy. Yirmiyahu responds to his own request, emphasizing again the divine providence that is being expressed in this destruction. Verse 7. Ech tishkoti v'Hashem tzivala. How can the sword be quiet? Hashem has commanded it. Hashem has decided that this nation needs to be destroyed at this time. They have run their course. In addition, El Ashkelon v'al chof hayam sham yada. Against Ashkelon, against the seashores, there has he appointed it. Hashem has identified these cities to be destroyed, and so until this has been accomplished, it would continue. In this parak, Yirmiyahu prophesies about the Plishtim, who lived in the southeast of Israel by the Mediterranean shore. They were allies of Tsur, and Nebuchadnezzar would annihilate their cities. One lesson that can be learned from this parak comes from how the Plishtim react when the situation becomes intense from the noise and onslaught of battle. The pasuk describes, Lo hifnu avos elbanim. The fathers do not look back to their children. The fathers lost their children because Rifion Yadayim, because of the weakness of their hands. The Mamloes and Das Sofrim say this is not a natural reaction of a parent. Parents take care of their children except when they may give up hope. The weakness of one's hands is an expression that means that a person is letting go. They're not holding tightly on to anything anymore. A person is panicked, they're hopeless, they become hyper-focused on their own survival to the exclusion of all else. They lose a connection with each other and with their goals. In that turmoil, a person can lose the one thing that is the most precious to them. Both the Mamloes and the Das Sofrim say that this weakness has elements of choice within it. When things are intense and we panic, we lose the ability to think and function clearly. When we feel that the intensity is rising, it is important to remind ourselves that no matter how dire a situation, Hashem is with us. He will take care of us. We need to do our part, but it will work out and be okay. We must turn to Hashem for help and pray for the presence of mind to stay calm even when everyone else around us is losing themselves. Being afraid is natural, but we can train ourselves not to catastrophize, not to blow things out of proportion. and to stay secure, knowing that we have a Father in heaven and things we need to accomplish on earth. With the attitude of Betachon, we will have the tools that we need to be Hashem's partner in overcoming challenging situations. Thank you for studying together, Lilo Nishmas, Rifa Schwab, Rivka Bas Alexander Sender.